Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father, of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love, Lord, and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, Immanent Holy Spirit, the Divine Indwelling. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. There is an insert in your bulletin that's going to give a lot of the details and shows us what's coming up now and in the coming weeks. And we invite you to take that home with you. And if you happen to misplace that, you can also check the web for that and so much more. You know, I was on the web the other day. It's really nice. Everybody else is probably goes to it. But anyway, it's a wonderful resource and beautiful. So, this is Lent. We're in the desert. And the traditional way to be with Lent is through fasting. And that's where we put aside something that we normally do to leave space for God for just 40 days. And prayer. And I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer. It's an invitation to increase our prayer, because when we're giving something away, we have a lot more space. So it's a good thing to do, is to increase our prayer. So that might look like increasing your prayer time at home, just 10 minutes each time you pray, or maybe an hour. Who knows? I wouldn't want to limit anybody. Or there are also opportunities like the 7 o'clock prayer down in the chapel, the Lectio Divina service in the morning has 20 minutes of prayer. The Friday night service and the Wednesday night service have 20 minutes of prayer. So if you don't usually go to those events, it might be a good time to do that during Lent, because we're also really trying to be more available to God. And in that light, we have a half-day centering prayer retreat coming up. That'll be the 15th of April here. And we have our Lenten retreat, Centering Prayer Retreat in Belton, is full. However, if you feel called, do not hesitate to to sign up in the office, because it's always possible that we can get a room or two more. It's a perfect way to really sink into God in Lent. And also coming up, we have our centering prayer, United Day of Prayer. And this is where people from all over the world join together for a day in prayer, all the people who are practicing centering prayer. And here at the Heart of Texas, which is our local chapter, we'll be celebrating that at the Seminary of the Southwest, which is a beautiful campus. And we'll be meeting with all the people from different prayer groups all over Austin. It is my wish, wouldn't it be amazing if everybody that did centering prayer got under one roof for one day? It might change the world. But whoever can come, come. There's details on your announcements. They ask you to pre-register. Also, almsgiving, and this is a time that we generously give to those who are less fortunate than we are. And that's so we can get rid of some of that self that thinks that they own something or that they have something, and to generously share. And so in that light, we thank you for everybody who brought some food for Caritas, and that will be taken to Caritas today. So think of ways that you can generously share with those who have less. Also, we have a Lenten reader, and that's by Peter Haas this year, A Living Lent, and there are some of those in the bookstore. Jackie is signing up Godly Play teachers. If you know when you're going to be out of town, please let her know so she can do the scheduling. And also, we need a greeter or two for our Sunday school, and that's a position that starts at 9:40 and goes to 9:55, so you have plenty of time to get to the service, and you just greet the young ones and their parents as they come in. And if this is your first time here at the Church of Conscious Harmony, welcome. And there will be someone at a table right out on the other side of the bridge to give you something to take home and read and to start a dialogue if you'd like. And now Tim has a message for us.
Well, I want to share something with you about what Barbara just said about increasing your prayer time. When we're beginning this, it always seems like we don't have enough time. And it always seems like carving out that time for God is, well, if not optional, it could be overlooked without problem. My experience with this is that I had a lot of difficulty getting my practice going. It was spotty. Some days I did, some days I didn't, some days I'd stop short of a timer. But the point was I kept after it, and I kept reaching for that something that my heart was longing for and that I had been unable to find in any of the indulgences or excesses that my personality was given to. So when things turned around for me and I began to taste the silence, I went deeper and deeper and deeper. And I want you to know this. You will never not have enough time to do everything you want to do if you devote time to listening to God in the silence. It's not just, okay, here are my thoughts, so is the timer off yet? It can be like that. But if you stick with it, especially if you follow the instructions, things begin to open inside that you didn't even know were there. Dimensions of personal experience that we all recognize. The second it starts to show itself to us, we go, oh, and you might hear, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my burden is light, and my yoke is easy. And so after a while, the mind gets it, that it's not going to be given permission to get up and leave, and it begins to get it, because there's something to get, or something that we want to get us. It's not like we get it. We let it have us. And we discover that on its terms, our life is a lot better story than the one that we've been telling ourselves. So what I want to say is that my time began to increase. And it increased, and it increased, and it increased. And there was a time in my life when circumstances were possible for me to meditate for hours, every day. And I mean hours. And I wasn't doing that because it was hard. And I wasn't doing it because I like being uncomfortable, because I wasn't uncomfortable. I was being fed something. And I learned to listen to the silence. Thomas Keating taught me this. Don't just be in this. Listen to it. The silence itself is saying something. It is not an absence of thoughts. It's a present of presence. It's an essence in itself. And when it begins to touch us inside, we begin to like it. And we find ourselves, instead of having to carve out a little time to do a little prayer, we find ourselves thinking, can I get away with 10 more minutes? Well, it depends on how traffic is, but what the heck? And of course, it would be like the Red Sea would open. Traffic gone. Really, God? You mean life isn't like I project it? You mean life is like you say it is? Who would have thought? But see, what we're hungering for is not theology. We've heard enough dogma in our lives to close our minds to dogma. But what everybody wants is experience. They want the experience of freedom that we experienced when we were little kids before we knew we had to run the world or explain ourselves. A little kid doesn't explain themselves, just hear. So at some point we take over, and at some point we realize that doesn't work, and then we begin amazingly to be led to places like this where food of another sort is being offered and where encouragement and teaching are available and real, where the strength of the community empowers each individual to do more relationship with God than we ever knew about before. We thought it was a duty. We thought we were doing God a favor. That's the one that gets me the most. Okay, I'll give you some of my time, God. Aren't I noble? Give me a break. Why do people go off to deserts? Why do they go to monasteries? Because they want an experience that they're not getting in their ordinary lives. But how God has gifted us is He didn't make it necessary for us to go off to monasteries. Because this is a monastery without walls. And it was conceived as such from the very beginning. This was to be a monastery for worldly people who weren't about to run off to the monastery because we got families, we got whatever we're into. Some of us have a calling to go to the monastery. Some of us have a calling to stay in the world, but as Jesus said, not be of it. To not be of it. Participating, but not afraid, not in doubt, not grabbing at things as though they were everything, but to simply witness and celebrate the life of God in the life of ordinary people in the ordinary world. In many ways, we have it easier than the monks, because the monks are in a pressure cooker. 30 guys, as Thomas said, that you never thought you wanted to be with, all locked behind the walls of a common intention. Now the thing is, nobody has to stay there. They can leave any time they want. I know men, Barbara and I have some dear friends who we counted on seeing every time we went to the monastery. And one day, where's John? He left. Okay, that's free enough. But the ones who stayed were not doing God a favor. They were in touch with something. They were hooked up to something that gave more meaning to their lives than they ever even dreamed existed when they dreamed the world's dreams of the world's values and the world's ways of doing things. This, I'm feeling frustrated right now because this is the third week in a row I've wanted to get you to talk and hear from the congregation. What are we going on in the audience? How's your Lent? How you been since Ilya's here? That was my plan for the morning. So here we are with something else going on again. So the privilege of being taught to listen to the silence, and the privilege of having a community that strengthens our intention by the combined intention we all share, is a gift beyond compare. You know, today the scripture was, those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. And I always took it to be just about money, but it's not. If we sow our intention toward God abundantly, God comes pouring back into us through the attention that we give to Him. Because it's through our attention that God is able to touch us. If we're distracted, if we're cussing the world for being the way it is and saying, well, if there was a God, there wouldn't be. Wait a minute. Who said we're to judge it? Who said we're to figure it out? The instruction manual I have here in the form of the Bible teaches us an entirely different way of living in the world. It's nothing like the world lives. And so the tendency in our culture is to do a lot of things shallowly, a lot of things a little bit. We like to keep our options open. Do a little this, do a little this, do a little this. So we go to the spiritual smorgasbord. We get a little of this, a little of this, a little of this. It was probably 25 years I took that point of view. But reaping sparingly in a lot of places, or sowing sparingly, didn't get me much. Gave me a good vocabulary, gave me a sense of being part of a humanity's reach for God. But it wasn't until I hunkered down and took one thing well, like a magnifying glass focuses all the light on one point and therefore it brings fire. That's the way we intended this community to function. Lots of people bring ideas. Let's do this and let's do this. But I learned from my own experience, if we just do one thing well, it'll deliver the goods. We'll get what we want. Give ourselves totally to one form of relating to God, and God will give Himself back to us 1,000 times over through that very gesture we're making toward Him. And the gesture of Lent is opening. Letting go a little bit of some of our issues, our desires and demands, which, you know, when you think, when you stop to think about why you like what you like and why you don't like what you don't like, none of these things were arrived at, none of these preferences were arrived at intelligently, with wisdom, rational. What can I give my attention to? What's the best thing for me to like? Well, for a while, it was cigarettes and scotch. Those were my gods. And rugby and football. My gods. The conversion has to include our will. There is no way we can get anybody else to know this. Believe me, I got 36 or 40 years of trying to convince other people that what happened to me could happen to them. Trying to share the methods by which God revealed me to me and Himself to me. for friends like us who want this. But wanting it part way isn't the magnifying glass. If God makes fire in people, I want that fire. Remember Jesus? Oh, I came to bring fire to the earth, and oh, how I wish it were already burning. We could be on fire, but there's a process. And that process is not one we can modify to fit our whims, our urges, or our randomly acquired likes and dislikes. We don't know why. I don't know why I only like macaroni and cheese. My granddaughter only likes macaroni and cheese. What an odd combination. I can't explain that. But I've been called to try for a number of times. Why do you only like macaroni and cheese? I don't know. And I bet you don't know what you like and what you don't like. But yet, if somebody tries to prevent you from having that, watch out. If somebody frustrates these randomly acquired intentions and whims and urges and fancies and imaginations, fantasies, somebody messes with them, we act like it's life itself. Now, nobody is forcing us to offer ourselves to God to the degree that we have. It's always a good thing to turn toward God. But for some reason, I became a personality that's excessive. I played sports excessively. I drank excessively. I did all kinds of libertine things excessively. And when it came time to the spiritual journey, I did that excessively. What? I'm conditioned that way. You're not supposed to be like me. Each of us is supposed to be just like we are, starting from where we are, as we are, and begin the process of realizing that in a scale of values that you and I have been offered, there is nothing, nothing that's like this. It's always a here and now presence. It's Kairos time, it's called. This is the moment. This is the moment, and this is the moment. And we might think, well, my back hurts, and I've got to feed the cat. I mean, everything will come up, anything will work. Because the mind wants to stay distracted. That's its business, is to keep us from being distracted from the true self, the Christ self, that is constantly being offered to each of us by God. And the way we've learned to access this is not the only way, I'm sure, but it's by listening deeper into the moment, more deeply into the now, not in thought after thought after thought, but down here where presence is, where being is. We begin to listen. We begin to hear deeper than our minds. We begin to hear deeper than culture. We begin to hear deeper than our emotions, and suddenly there's this, in me it was a door that opened, it's literally a door, and I opened in to this beautiful embrace of living darkness that loves me. Well, I've been a junkie for it ever since. Thomas has given me clues how to be there, Bernadette has given me clues, but the only thing I'm interested in is depth. I want to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Is that because I love to suffer? Not at all. It's because I'm tired of suffering. Tired from carrying the world around and criticizing this and not liking that, and I gotta have this, and have you seen what they did now? Whose football team won? None of that's bad, but it's not God. There will be God. All that's gonna disappear. You see, we're gifted in our time in a particular way. Because not only have we been given gifts by living masters in the presence of Bernadette Roberts, who helped found this place, and Thomas Keating, who elaborated the journey and its psychological dimensions, we've got everything working for us. But it's this realization of personal need, realization of the humility that ought to come to us if we take account of what we give our attention to and why. Well, I've always done it this way. You always want to do it that way? What if there was something bigger you were missing because you love to do that? What if there was something so huge the whole universe was in it that wanted to be in you and to love you and live you, bless you in ways you can't dream? That's what Jesus was offering. And one guy said, well, I'd like to do that, but I've got to go break in my cattle. See, there's always some little thing the mind presents that's more important than feeling God in the now, because in the now we feel the presence so intensely, the presence that we've been ignoring now becomes obvious. But it's here to transform us. If we'll feel these feelings of being present, if we'll sink into them deeper than thought and listen to the silence, that silence becomes a presence that is self-existent, self-validating. It needs no explanation. We know we're home. We know we're in our Father's house. Now, I think one thing that kind of discourages us is that we're people who want it all today. I'm going to get to the end. What's the bottom line? Where's the profit here? You see, God doesn't work that way. It's not a tit-for-tat exchange. God is a process. Truth is a process. I, the subject, the knowing subject in ourselves, is a process. And we've thought it was an object. We've taken ourselves and other people and life to be made of objects, and it's not. It's made of life. And life, as it manifests, is floating in an ocean of silence, from which all things come, to which all things return. And that silence is available to us to, like, before we leave this plane. The transformative process wants to go on, but it requires one thing from us. It requires our will. We have to say yes. No. We get to say yes to the living presence, and later to the mind. And then a little more later. And then a really lot later. I like it better without you, as a matter of fact. Well, we're not here to get rid of it. We're here to put it under authority. To bring it under the authority and wisdom of those who have walked this earth before us and who have left us messages. They've dropped breadcrumbs for us to follow. But it's we who have to follow. It's we who have to choose, because God cannot overwhelm and overcome our free will, because we're made just like Him, with infinite creativity and infinite will. So how to get the will to participate? How to get the will? A self-examination is a great way to start. Self-inquiry. Am I these thoughts? Well, then why am I being pushed around by them? Am I these feelings? No, I'm the knower of the feelings. I'm deeper than the feelings. Am I these sensations that are so uncomfortable now? No. I'm deeper than all of that. But how do we know that experience? Nice to know it from books. Read a lot of books. But nothing replaces the experience of God's right now, overflowing abundance of living water and spiritual guidance. I learned a lesson one time. My lessons come from life. They come from experiences I have. Maybe even years later I'll understand what that was all about. But there was one lesson I got right at the time. And it's a lesson about being under authority. I was living in Canada and playing amateur football. I loved football. And I really enjoyed practice. I liked every part of it. Excessive. But I wasn't a very good football player. I was big and I had a lot of will. But I found it difficult to take instruction. Okay, sure, coach. And I'd do my thing. Now, I just ask you right now, this isn't about football for you. What is it that you've been receiving instruction on, but you'd rather do your thing? See, I didn't have to play football. I voluntarily was on that team. To come under the coach's authority would have been a very intelligent thing for a young man my age. But I still did my thing. So in one particular game, on one particular day, my assignment as a defensive end, we had lanes. Here's the outside on one side, here's the outside on the other side of the field. The defensive ends just run straight ahead. Just run straight ahead, whether there seems to be anything there or not. So I would start running straight ahead, and then I'd see the guy with the ball, and I'd go for the ball, and it was a deception. I'd either get knocked to the side by a pulling guard, or get the air. So he said to me, why don't you just once try just running straight ahead? Okay. The ball carrier and I arrived at the same point in time and space at the same moment. And I had the momentum, and he didn't get up. And I felt like caveman. But see, my instincts, my preferences were based on, I got to get that guy with the ball. I want to get that guy with the ball. But they weren't smart preferences. They were just inclinations, factors of personality that would rather not struggle to do it somebody else's way, but just follow their impulses and whims. So when that happened that day, I was the hero of the day. Guys were petting, you know, hit each other in the butt. Yeah, way to go, Cook, way to go, Cook. But I went away realizing, wow, I just did what I was told, the way I was told to do it, and look what happened. I got what I really wanted. We have instruction here that is thousands of years old, tested and attested to by saints and mystics, by the realizers, the ones who received revelations from God. They left us all the instruction. Now, we don't have to play in their game. But if we follow our own cultural inclinations, we're as stupid as I was when I kept going for the ball. We keep trying to do the obvious, and it's not obvious. This is a mystery. It's referred to as the Mysterium Fascinans et Tremendum, the great and fascinating mystery of man in God, and God in man. And you can't just, if you want to be in this game, nobody has to be in the game any more than I had to be on that football team. You don't have to do this. But if you're going to do it, you ought to do it. There's something here. There's something to be experienced. There's something to know with a capital K. I did it backwards. Paul talks about it as all of creation is groaning, yearning for the equilibrium, for the birth of the new man. That birth does not come from behaving in an excellent manner according to a law code or a bunch of civil rules. Nothing wrong with all that. But this comes from trusting in the Spirit more than we trust the mind, which has led us astray countless times, if you'll just notice. But it has this way of forgetting the lessons that it learned before. and of repeating them over and over and over, as if it were fresh each time. Time is moving this way, from past to future. Eternity is now, here, always, everywhere. You don't have to wait for the end of time to experience the eternity of God's love. It's here in the present. But notice the shape of the cross. They were asked in a Carmelite monastery one time why they didn't have the body on the cross, the corpus on the cross. And the prioress said, because it's waiting for you to climb up on it. Waiting for you to get it. Now is my life. My life isn't what happened 10 minutes ago. And my life isn't what's going to happen. I'm not present for my life now, then I won't be then. And I'll need more. I want more. I want more. Can never satisfy. So in Lent, we up our standard a little bit to make it easier to reach for God and make room for God to reach for us, but also to experience the exercise of will. Will is a muscle. And if when things get hard, we always go, okay, it's too hard, I'm going to let go. When we say, God's will be done, when Jesus prayed, thy will be done, he's saying, I'm going to sit here. And if I'm to move, you will move me. And if I'm to speak, you will speak me. Because all I want to know is your presence. And that means that everything that doesn't want to know that presence is like this. Oh, God, I've got to do this. I should have done that. That's endless until you come to the cross. Endless. Until you pin your, like, you know, a butterfly in a display case is pinned. We pin ourselves to the moment. And then that rubs off all the other stuff eventually. And as I said, it's a process. But in so doing, we're following the coach who said, do you think he's a bad coach? Pick up your cross and follow me. If you try to preserve your life, you will lose it. If you give me your life, you will find life such as you never dreamed. That's what our coach said. Now, you can play the game any way you want to. But if you want to be on Christ's team, then why not do what the coach is saying instead of what you're inclined to do? So the struggle for will. St. Anthony of the Desert, a pioneer in this business of Christian monasticism, St. Anthony said, without temptation, no transformation. Transformation comes in giving our will to God and then accepting our lives just as they are, us just as we are, others just as we are. It has to be tempted. So we do little things in Lent. I'm going to turn the... Oh, I hope you got a Facebook. You get paid back 1,000,000 times more than you ever lose. And then when you turn it back on, you'll be amazed you were on it in the first place. Well, when you see what you've been missing. And I'm not kidding about that. So we create these little spaces where... I'd like to watch that movie, TV. One won't hurt. And then we remember what the coach said. Go into your closet and shut the door and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now let's just imagine that the prize is the ball. The pearl of great price that Jesus spoke of is the ball. We're always trying to get the pearl of great price, just like I wanted to tackle the guy with the ball by running straight toward him. Never got him. Never got the pearl of great price by doing things my way. pearl of great price, the ball, is given to those who follow the instructions of the coach of the team they want to be on. So we're free to approach our spiritual journey in as lax a manner as we want, or as focused a manner as we want. But what I know for certain is that the magnifying glass that focuses starts the fire. Hear it again. I came to bring fire to the earth. And oh, how I wish it were burning. We learn to listen to the silence, and it becomes a presence. That presence reveals itself as our very identity. That very identity reveals itself as Christ, the Son of God. And it's available to anyone who wants it. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
Return to God with all your heart, the source of grace and mercy. Come seek the tender faithfulness of God. Return to God with all your heart, the source of grace and mercy. Come seek the tender faithfulness of God. Now the time of grace has come, the day of salvation. Come and learn now the way of our God. Return to God with all your heart, the source of grace and mercy. Come seek the tender faithfulness of God. Return to God with all your heart, the source of grace and mercy. Come seek the tender faithfulness of God. I will take your heart of stone and place a heart within you, a heart of compassion and love. Return to God with all your heart, the source of grace and mercy. Come seek the tender faithfulness of God. Return to God with all your heart, the source of grace and mercy. Come seek the tender faithfulness of God. If you set the prisoner free, share your bread with the hungry, then your light shall break forth like the dawn. Return to God with all your heart, the source of grace and mercy. Come seek the tender faithfulness of God. Return to God with all your heart, the source of grace and mercy. Come seek the tender faithfulness of God.
And now it's time to join together for a time of centering prayer and community. And to prepare ourselves, we take note that our bodies are being supported by the chairs on which we sit. And when we become aware of that, we begin to accept that support and let go. Deeply relax and open, becoming still without and within. Relaxed, open, and alert, we allow our attention to fall gently into the area of the heart, the seat of life itself, the seat of divine love. Resting in the heart, we listen to a Lenten psalm for awakening. Come, O life-giving Creator, and rattle the door-latch of my slumbering heart. Awaken me as you breathe upon a winter's wrapped earth, gently calling to life, virgin spring. Awaken in these fortified days of Lenten prayer and discipline, my youthful dream of holiness, wholeness. Call me forth from the prison camp of my numerous past defeats and my narrow patterns of being, to make my ordinary life extraordinarily alive through the passion of my love. Show me during these Lenten days how to take the daily things of life and by submerging them in the sacred, to infuse them with a great love for you, O God, and for others. Guide me to perform simple acts of love and prayer, the real works of reform and renewal of this overture to spring of the Spirit. O Father of Jesus, Mother of Christ, help me not to waste these precious Lenten days of my soul's spiritual springtime. We open to that divine presence, the nectar of God, as we rest with the Beloved in silence. In peace, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We've come to the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that feeds us. And we do it in the spirit of God's infinite, endless, abundant supply for every particle of creation. Taking our tithes and offerings in our hands, we bless them with our knowledge of what has always been true. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's make our claim on reality together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And oh, how blessed we are when we simply remember God. Amen. feeling ourselves now present as life, silently expressing itself through our forms. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives and on our planet over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. This we pray in Christ. Amen. Father Thomas has written the most eloquent thing I ever heard about the Eucharist. And I love taking it deeper and deeper and deeper. I've heard these words 1,000 times. But every time I hear them, they go in a little deeper. This is the Holy Eucharist. In the Eucharist, we're not only joined to Christ, whom we believe is present with his whole being under the symbols of bread and wine, but we believe that we are joined with all other Christians, with every member of the human race, and with the whole of creation. Christ is in the hearts of all men and women, and in the heart of all creation, sustaining everything in being. This mystery of oneness enables us to emerge from the Eucharist with a refined inward eye, and invites us to perceive the mystery of Christ everywhere, and in everything. He who is hidden from our senses and intellect becomes more and more transparent to the eyes of faith, to the consciousness that is being transformed. The Spirit in us perceives the Spirit in others. The Eucharist is the celebration of life, the dance of the divine in human form. We are a part of that dance. Each of us is a continuation of Christ's incarnation, insofar as we are living Christ's life in our own lives, or rather instead of our own lives. The Eucharist is the summary of all creation coming together in a single hymn of praise, surrender, and thanksgiving. In the Eucharist, all creation is transformed again into his divine person, and thrust into the depths of the Father forever and ever. Even material creation has become divine in him. Let's join together in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again, he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in our communion song, Abba. Jesus, your son.
living and eternal Christ. We feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one, in your mystical body, the true body of Christ, for the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand for Amazing Grace. Hear our prayer. We thank you for inviting us to participate in the game of life according to the playbook. Amen.